It's Saturday, the 21st of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Larry Sanders. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au, No Halftime, and Justin Socks 39. And if you want to be like Justin Socks 39 and be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. You can be just like Justin, leave a review. And thanks to everyone again who has helped out with leaving reviews. It's been awesome. Thank you, of course, to Moneyball.com.au, Australia's only daily fantasy site, and the new sponsor, No Halftime, which is a which I'll talk about a little bit later. You can sign up to No Halftime using the promo code DUNK, D-U-N-K, to help support the podcast, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. You can find me on basketballmonster.com and on hardwoodparoxysm.com as well. 11 games on Friday. Lots of stuff happened.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael Bolton. Now, we're looking at the monstrous line of the night. There's a lot of things that you need to look at and a lot of big performances that go into it. I normally look at it from a head-to-head perspective, and I've been hanging for this guy to get the monstrous line of the night, and that is Brandon Knight of the Phoenix Suns. And the main reason I wanted Brandon Knight to get the monstrous line of the night is because I have so much fun with his name in terms of puns for episode titles. So you'll see the title of this episode is Knight in White Satin. And the main reason I wanted to name the podcast that, if you haven't heard it, it's a very old song by the Moody Blues. But for anybody out, if anybody who's listening to this podcast knows anything of what I'm talking about here, please let me know. But whenever I hear Knight or Knights in White Satin, it reminds me back to probably the funniest radio show I've ever heard, Get This, an Australian radio show. And one of the co-hosts you see on TV quite a lot now in Australia, Ed Cavalli, he sung the song Knights in White Satin, and it's always stuck in my head. And I've actually managed to track down a copy of him singing that song, so I'm going to play it now. And this is what led me to motivate me to name the podcast this title. So here we go. Hope this works.
Again. They called in.
Nights in White Satin. Never reach to the air. Something or other. Something else.
Now, there's probably one person who's listening who knows anything of what I'm talking about. And if you know and you remember that, please let me know. But it's something that it makes me laugh. And hey, that's why I named the podcast Knight in White Satin. But let's get back to the basketball. Brandon Knight. Huge, and look, another huge game for Brandon Knight. 36 minutes, 38 points. He hit 6 threes and had 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. 11 of 20 shooting, 10 of 12 from the free throw line. He's been absolutely awesome. I don't think there's any other way of putting it. 9 cat rank, he's inside the top 15. He's averaging almost 22 points a game, almost 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 steal, half a block on 45 and 84 as his percentages. Now, he struggled big time coming to Phoenix last year. He had that ankle problem, and it caused him to miss basically the whole second half of that season. He only played a few games in Phoenix. We were a little bit worried. How's he going to fit in? Was the Milwaukee thing a fluke because he was the only talented offensive player on that team? How's it all going to work out? The answer is it's working out pretty good, or pretty well. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. I own him in a couple of leagues, and I couldn't be happier. Now, obviously, he's just putting up just massive, massive numbers, and it doesn't look like there's any sign of it abating. The Suns are running everything through their guards. Their 3, 4, and 5 don't get anything in comparison to their guards, and that's fine because their guards are clearly their best players. And that's Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe just putting up huge numbers. Let's look at the last 5 games from Brandon Knight. He had a game against the Clippers where he went 37 with 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 6 threes. A quiet one against the Nuggets where he had 10 points. Then he went against the Lakers and went 30, 10, and 15 with 4 steals. He went 23, 3, and 4 against the Bulls, and then 38, 11, and 6 with 6 threes here. So he's had just huge, huge games. So 3 in his last 5 games of over 30 points scoring, a triple-double in that, another double-double in that. He's had 2 games with 6 three-pointers in that stretch as well. And two of those games, he shot over 50% from the field, and he's taken over 20 attempts in four of those five games. He has just been absolutely incredible to start this season. Somehow he got even better than what he was last year when he was in Milwaukee, and that was a bit of a surprise what he did in Milwaukee as well. So a really another massive performance from Brandon Knight. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Ish Smith of the New Orleans Pelicans. 31 minutes for Smith, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 13 assists, 7 of 10 shooting. To say that Ish Smith's been a surprise this year is an understatement as well. He's averaging 10.5 points. He's averaging 3.5 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal. And one of the best things about it is he was a guy that, over his career, he's been a really bad free throw shooter. 60 last year, 56 the year before, 43 the year before that. He's at 79 at the moment, so he's not hurting you in that area. He's giving you elite assist numbers, and he obviously has to be owned at this stage. But the news came out today that Tyreke Evans will be back within a week. We thought maybe that's a little bit early for Tyreke. He said it, then Alvin Gentry said it, so Tyreke looks like he's going to be back. And that's going to cut down some of Ish Smith's time. Now, Smith played a huge amount of minutes here. He played next to Drew Holiday. He played 31 minutes. Drew Holiday played 24, so they played together. But when Tyreke returns, is that going to be able to happen? Yes, Drew will still be on a minutes limit, so he'll still get, you know, relatively decent minutes. But then Norris Cole returns. Where does Ish Smith fit into that? Is he a 30-minute a game guy? I don't think so. He's averaging 29 minutes a game at the moment. It's got nowhere to go but down. And you could see that within 3 or 4 weeks that he's down in single digits in terms of the minutes that he's playing. So if someone thinks it's, you know, he's going to be a top 70 guy going forward, I would sell him. You're probably not going to be able to do it. All you got to do now is own him, see what happens, play it out, but just be prepared for there to be a decrease in value from Ish Smith, because he's definitely exceeded pretty much everyone's expectation. But the minutes will have to come down at some point, because there's just these other guys coming back. Holiday's minutes restriction will be lifted. Evans will be back. Norris Cole will be back, and that's going to put Ish Smith. Now, I think Ish Smith's a better player than Norris Cole. I don't know if many other people in the NBA agree with me, or the people in the Pelicans do. I think he's a better player than Norris Cole, so I'd have him as the backup point guard. Whether they believe that is another story, and if they don't, then his minutes go way down, because the ball handling responsibilities will be Holiday, and they'll be Evans, and they'll probably be Cole third, and then you'll have Smith as the fourth guy, and it's not going to leave much for him. Look, I could be wrong. Maybe they do value him more than Cole. I doubt they're going to want to play Evans off the ball, though. Evans, he can play off the ball some, but he's the guy who needs the ball in his hand as well. So the opportunities for him are going to be reduced, there's no doubt. But he's always been a really, really good passer. Obviously putting up great numbers here, well above career averages. Even on a per 36 basis, his numbers are well above career numbers. But it's got the feeling that it's going to come, not crashing down, but dropping in the next couple of weeks. The young gun of the night is Karl Anthony Towns. Yet again, he is he's something else, really. He looked incredible today. He played only 28 minutes, but he didn't need many minutes to put up just a huge performance. 18-7, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 8 of 10 shooting, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He's a top 20 player at the moment. He's averaging 16-10. He's averaging 2.5 blocks. He's at 52-91. What more can you say about Karl Anthony Towns? He's going to be a stud. He's going to be a top 10 player within the next 3 seasons. That feels like there's almost no doubt about that. And if you were drafting next year, I wouldn't be shocked if you took him at the end of the first round. That's how good he's looking at the moment. And he's got a huge scope to get better than what he currently is. And it's a little bit frightening of how good he is in terms of just what that means for the rest of the league with him and Wiggins. And you know, developing together, it's going to be pretty awesome to watch how he goes. But he just looks fantastic. The dud of the night goes to Jonas Valanciunas. He played 18 minutes. He had 3 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. And then he broke his hand. So he broke the fourth metatarsal on his left non-shooting hand. Well, he's only got one non-shooting hand. That's his left hand. What does it mean going forward? Okay, so Valanciunas, you know, he sat out basically the second half. Where did the minutes go? Well, they didn't go to Bismack Biyombo, who played only 16 minutes for the game. He played some, but in 16 minutes is what he'd average when Valanciunas is playing. He had 1.4 rebounds and a block. We saw Patrick Patterson get up to 26 minutes. We see Loui Scola play 25 minutes. Patterson went 7-7, Scola 11-5. The minutes are going to go to these guys. It's going to be Scola. It's going to be Patrick Patterson. It's going to be James Johnson, who gets a bump. Damari Carroll's going to play some four, pushing Scola and Patterson to the five. And Lucas Noguera is going to play a handful of minutes as well. So I'm being bombarded with questions from people. Who's the must-own? Who's the guy to grab? Who's the guy to grab? Well, there's no one. If Damari Carroll is for some reason inexplicably on your waiver wire, he's the guy to own. In a deep 12-team league, Scola and Patterson would be the two guys I'd be looking at. If you're desperate for blocks, Bismack Biyombo might go from playing 16 minutes up to 22 minutes and get you 1.5 blocks a game. But by no means are any of these guys, sacrifice everything, blow 25% of your fab, burn waiver wire number one priority on any of these guys. Because, we don't know how long Valanciunas is going to be out. I'm assuming he's going to be out for 4 weeks, which is a pretty standard time frame for a broken hand. But none of these guys are going to go out there and play 32 minutes as the center and be a focal point offensively. It's going to continue to run through Lowry, Carroll, DeRozan, and Corey Joseph to a degree. They'll play very small. And Biyombo will be in there as a shot blocker. So it depends a little bit on what you need. But none of the guys, to me, are really must-own players at all. The DFS value play of the night was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He was a minimum salary guy at 3,500, and he put up 30.2 points on FanDuel. And congratulations if you had Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on your team. I don't know why you would have had Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on your team. I'm sure somebody did. I'll get to him a little bit later on with his performance. Oh, let's do it now, actually. But congratulations if you did, because that was a pretty decent performance. He had 13 points, 11 rebounds, 3 steals, and a 3-pointer. He also took 12 shots, which was the second highest on the Nets. Now, the Nets were getting blasted by the Celtics. So, some of the way that things went down in that game aren't necessarily representative of how they're going to go down for the season. But it was good to see him getting out there and doing a little bit offensively. Now, on the season, he's only averaging 8.2 points per 36 minutes, and he had 13 here. He's been a good rebounder. He's at 5.5 on the season. He's almost at 1.3 steals, and these are only in 21 minutes, and he's shooting 48% from the field. He's been a horrible free throw shooter, though. His value it sticks in rebounds and steals. If he continues to get 30 or 27 to 28 minutes, which he probably will. The last week, he's played 28 minutes a game. He's an 8-7 with 2 steals. So 7 rebounds and 2 steals. That's okay for some 12-team leagues. It's not must-own by any stretch, but a really nice DFS performance from him. I'm not even sure that even if he's getting 30 minutes, he's not a must-own player to me anyway. I don't think he is. If you've got different thoughts, please let me know. You know where to find me on Twitter, which is redrock_bball. Now, before we get into these games and talk about them in a little bit more detail, I'm going to talk about the sponsor of today's podcast, No Halftime. It's an app on your iOS device, and it's pretty straightforward. Basically, if you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking, I just want to take on one of their players, you can do that. It's a player versus player fantasy app for money. You get on there. No Halftime app allows you to do that. You create individual challenges. You can accept individual challenges. You can put your LeBron James up against his Carmelo Anthony. You can put your Karl Anthony Towns up against his Kristaps Porzingis. And whichever one of them ends up with the most fantasy points wins. Now, it doesn't have to be for that day. It's over a three-day period. So I could take DeMarcus Cousins tomorrow and LeBron James from Monday and compare him against LeBron James from Monday. And then you see how that contest works. Set how much you want to wager on it, and the winner takes the prize. It's very straightforward. You can do private challenges. You can do public challenges. It doesn't take long at all. Once you open the app, it goes in there, and you'll see the challenges there. You can just go ahead and accept any ones that are there that you like and you think you've got a chance of winning. It does not just basketball. NFL, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball. You can get involved with all of those. It's real money. It's the No Halftime app on iPhone. Check out nohalftime.com. And when you download the app, all you need to do to help support the podcast is use the promo code DUNK, as you can see on the screen if you're watching the video, D-U-N-K. And that's a DUNK for No Halftime. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, back to business and talking about these games. But just, if you could, just go and download that app, use that promo code DUNK, help support the show, and maybe win yourself some money as well. It's a fun, obviously it doesn't take a huge amount of time. It's not like a DFS investment. It's not like season-long investment. It doesn't take very long at all, and you can go win yourself some pretty quick money and support the podcast while you're doing it. So that would be great if you could just go and download that app. if you do have an iPhone, an Android app is coming at some stage, and you'll be able to support the podcast on that as well. All right, let's get into these games. There were 11 games. Let's start talking about them. The first game of the night, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Charlotte Hornets. The Sixers looked terrible yet again. They weren't good. I think the biggest thing was a couple of things we need to look at from the Sixers' perspective here is that Nerlens Noel did head to the bench. He went to the bench. Robert Covington replaced him in the starting lineup. But Noel looked the best that he's looked in a while. He played 27 minutes. He went 16-9. There were no defensive numbers, but he shot 7 of 9, which has been a real problem for him with his shooting percentage this year. The rebounds were there. The points were there. A pretty good sign. And as often happens, going to the bench doesn't mean that you don't get minutes. Now, 27 minutes isn't ideal. You would want him to get 31 minutes, 32 minutes. Now, Jakar Sampson doesn't need 14 minutes. I don't know why he's getting 14 minutes. Christian Wood doesn't need 4 minutes. Nerlens Noel could play those 4 minutes. But he didn't go to the bench and play 20 minutes or anything like that. So we don't know if this is going to be a permanent move. We don't know if it's because they're playing the Hornets. We don't know what it is. But Noel looked a lot better coming off the bench. It did allow the Sixers to have a bit more spacing. Didn't matter in terms of them winning. But to me, their best lineup still has Noel at the 4 and Covington at the 3. I mentioned Covington. He had a pretty decent night. 9-3-3, a steal and a block. His shooting is still way off, though. He was 1 of 7 from the field. He missed all 4 of his 3-pointers. He hasn't hit a 3 this year. That will start coming around. The other numbers are good. The 7 of 7 from the free throw line is really good. I still maintain that he has to be owned everywhere. It's good that he's back in the starting lineup. Everything is going to start to come together for him. Nick Stauskas is a guy who struggled recently. He got it going. He was terrible in the first half. And I put out a couple of tweets saying, is he cold or is he just useless? And most people's response was, he's just useless. But he actually got pretty hot in the second half. 32 minutes for Stauskas, 15 points, 3 assists, 3 threes, and a block. And if that's the sort of line he can provide, then that has value in 12-10 leagues. We just haven't seen it the last. We saw it early on this season. Massive slump. Came back with a nice one here. He's not a must-own, but he's a guy that definitely has value when he can get it going. And he was much better today, so that's obviously good to see if you're a Stauskas supporter. Hollis Thompson hit 3 threes for 9 points, added a couple of blocks. Jeremy Grant went 12-5 with a steal and a block. And TJ McConnell, not a great offensive night for him, still yet to take a free throw. 5 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal, and continues to do that sort of low-end, you know, rebounding and assisting. That's basically all he does. Jahlil Okafor didn't have a great night, didn't look all that engaged. 10.7 rebounds in 30 minutes, a pretty bad shooting night for him from the field and from the free throw line. Don't think you can do a lot about that. You just deal with it and go from there. Al Jefferson destroyed Jahlil Okafor. He destroyed him offensively. He destroyed him defensively. 26-10 for Al Jeff in 31 minutes. A steal, 5 blocks. Great shooting. He just killed Jahlil Okafor. And Jefferson has these games and he'll have some real stinkers. So he's a very up and down player this season, but that's obviously the good side of Al Jeff. Kemba Walker was red hot to start out the game. 22-7, 3 steals and a couple of threes. And Marvin Williams, 11-9 with 2 steals and with 2 threes and 2 blocks. And that's a pretty standard Marvin Williams line. Now Cody Zeller was out of this one. So Frank Kaminsky played 19 minutes, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals. No, 2 blocks, sorry. Hit all 4 of his field goal attempts. Not a bad night from Kaminsky. He's been a really usable daily fantasy guy for the last couple of games. At 20 minutes and minimum salary, if that salary comes up, it'll change, but he's going to get those 20 minutes while Zeller is out. Now, Zeller doesn't appear to be out for very long, but it's something you can look for. Kaminsky in standard leagues has no real value, though. Nick Batum, not a great night. 14-4-3 with 3 threes. Jeremy Lamb couldn't shoot the lights out. 4 out of 10 for him, 13 points with 2 threes and not a lot else. And Jeremy Lin got the start with our PJ Harrison out. 9 points for Lin, a 3, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He would have hurt a lot of people who put him into their daily fantasy lineup. I know I did. I still was able to cash, so it wasn't a complete waste with having him. I put him in there and I put Jermichael Green in, who we'll get to later, as guys in my DFS lineup. And I still was able to cash in most of them. So you can survive a couple of bad games from some guys. Lin wasn't a terrible performance. It wasn't ideal, though. The next game up is the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. I touched on this earlier. The Nets just got destroyed. The Celtics hammered them. So minutes were sort of all over the place. And Jarrett Jack only played 24. He went 11-2-5. And that meant Shane Larkin played 30 minutes. He went 10-3-3 with 4 steals. Let's not read too much into any of this minute distribution. Joe Johnson played 18. Brook Lopez played 27. The game was over. there's not really anything to gain from looking at this from both sides, because no Celtics player played over 30 minutes. Yeah, Jared Sullinger played 19. Amir Johnson played 20. And in the past, you go, you know what? Buddy Brad Stevens, what's he doing? But when the game is that over that early, then they don't need to play any more than that. Marcus Smart, he went down with a bruised left knee, did not return after 21 minutes. He was seen in the locker room with no strapping, no ice or anything on it, so it looks like it's going to be okay, just a bruise. Now, he might miss a game, though, so bear that in mind. He was actually putting up some nice numbers, 7-2-4 with a steal and a 3. Not a bad start from Smart before he went down. Kelly Olynyk, 21 minutes, he fouled out. 4 points, 10 rebounds and 5 assists. Again, just showing his fantasy versatility. And David Lee got red hot as well, 11 points in 17 minutes. Isaiah Thomas was great, 18-9. Avery Bradley, 21 points off the bench. And Jay Crowder, another 3 steals and 19 points. And these guys, Bradley, Crowder and Thomas, were just red hot in the first half and basically just sealed the game for the Celtics very, very early on. If Jay Crowder's not owned in your league, that needs to change. Avery Bradley on a real hot streak as well. He's probably never going to project to be a top 100 guy, but with the way that he's playing at the moment, it's very hard to ignore Avery Bradley in leagues. The New York Knicks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Knicks, the huge victory, and I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that the Eastern Conference has a winning record against the Western Conference this season after all the bashing that people do of the Eastern Conference, of how bad it is and how terrible it is. And yes, that can be true. They've actually beaten the West more than what the West has beaten them this season, and this is a massive win for the Knicks to get over the Thunder. Jose Calderon played 30 minutes, went 10-4-7 with 3 steals and 2 threes. That's a really nice night from Calderon. He's definitely being preferred to Jerry and Grant at the moment. He's getting more minutes. And if you're in a deeper sort of format 12-team league, or if you're in anything deeper than that, Calderon has to be owned because he's got this job fairly locked down, it feels like. Aaron Aflalo, 29 minutes, 14 points, not much else. This is stock standard Aaron Aflalo, and it's what people do get confused with looking at his lines. I'm not confused, but you see 14 points, and it's a double-digit number, and you get 14 points, that's great. But 14 points is below par still. It's still not a great, it's still a below-average number. If you're going to do that and not provide anything else, like 2 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks, no free throws, 3 turnovers, like you need to do more than that. He added 2 threes, which is nice, but I still don't think that he's a guy that should be owned in standard leagues. Kristaps Porzingis struggled, 7-6 in his 26 minutes, but I think we'll give him a pass there. The bench guys, Derek Williams, Jerian Grant, Kevin Serafin, not much to really talk about there. Langston Galloway's minutes were reduced here. He only played 20 minutes. He had 5 points and 5 steals. So, yeah, you're still happy with 5 steals, clearly, but the minutes are a little the minutes are a little worrying. Now, he's played like 28, 19, 28, 19, basically, in the 4 games since Aflalo has been back. So we don't need to be too panicky, I don't think, about Langston Galloway, but it's worth monitoring over the next couple to see exactly what goes down. Russell Westbrook, 34-7-7 with 4 steals, a block and 2 threes. That's Russell Westbrook. That's a pretty decent night from him. Dion Waiters entered the starting lineup, went 16-4. He had 3 steals in 30 minutes. Now, Kevin Durant is going to be back probably by the next game, so any value that Waiters had will be reduced significantly. Same with Anthony Morrow. Serge Ibaka stunk. He was really close to the dud of the night. 8-3 for him. Not much else. A 4 of 13 shooting night. Just not good. And Enes Kanter had his standard empty double-double. 11-13 in 25 minutes. And if you want to drop him in standard leagues, I can completely understand it. Steven Adams, 4-8 with a block. 21 minutes for him. And the fact that Nick Collison played 20 minutes is really disheartening to me. I don't know why he's getting 20 minutes. 6-7 for Collison, a steal and a block. Those 20 minutes could be distributed between Kanter and Adams, 10 minutes apiece. Give Kanter 30, give Adams 30. It's fine. It's the way that I don't see why Collison needs 20 minutes. He's not a good player. He hasn't been a good player for a long time. He's a decent locker room guy, but he shouldn't be taking minutes away from the better players. I don't really understand the point of that. Anyway, the San Antonio Spurs and New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans with a massive win, and this was a weird game because the Pelicans, it took them about 4 minutes to score their first point, but then after that, they got back in front by the end of the first quarter and got the victory, their second of the season. LaMarcus Aldridge, 20-11 with a block, but he injured his ankle. He did come back out, but he's now questionable to play on Saturday. That's often the case with ankle injuries and ankle sprains. Is it a guy goes down, sprains it, can come back in, can play on it, but then after that, the ankle swells up significantly, so he's a big chance to miss Saturday's games. Kawhi Leonard, 22-5, a steal, a block, 3 threes. He's really good. And Patty Mills, probably his best performance of the year. 11 points with 3 threes, a couple of steals, a block, a nice line for Mills. He's not a 12-team league guy just yet. He's more of a 14-team league guy, but a nice performance. And Tony Parker was relatively solid with 10, 5, and 5. Time to go into Danny Greenwatch. 6 points for Green on 2 of 8 shooting. That's not good. But 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block is still okay. So he's still he did enough there for me to not completely rail him as being terrible. He's never going to be a 16-point scorer. That's not going to be him. It's where he gets the value in the threes, rebounds, steals, and blocks. And he got you threes. He got you rebounds. He got you a block. He didn't get you the steal. And that's what helps him out. So not a great night, but not a terrible night. And he played 32 minutes. So that's something, again, we need to take solace in. Tim Duncan played just 19 minutes, and it was the first game in his entire NBA career where he did not have a rebound. 6 points, a steal, and a block, no rebounds. Based on his track record, I wouldn't imagine that that's something that is going to continue or is going to happen again. But hey, there's always a first time for everything. On to the Pelicans. Anthony Davis returned, played 39 minutes, 20 and 18, 2 blocks. When he has a bad night, which from all reports, I didn't watch much of this game, he wasn't playing that well. When he still puts up 20 and 18 with 2 blocks, you're happy with that. Ryan Anderson had 30 points off the bench with 6 threes and 7 rebounds. He got red hot early as well. And Eric Gordon, he struggled a little. 11 points, 2 assists, and 2 steals. So still helping marginally. Drew Holiday, 9 points in his 24 minutes, 7 assists, and a block. And I get a lot of questions. Do I still hold Drew Holiday? I think that it depends. If you're in a massive hole to start the season, then maybe you have to get rid of him. But I'm still holding because the minutes are coming up. He seems to be ahead of schedule. You just hope he can get to this 30 minutes by the middle of December. That would be my hope. If you can hold on for another couple of weeks, he's going to be a top 50 sort of player. Fingers crossed. Omer Asik started, played 12 minutes, and is terrible. He had 7 rebounds in 12 minutes, so that's not terrible, but he did nothing else. And Alonzo G, 18 minutes in a start. Not much point in playing him. So the Pelicans went, their main minutes guys, Anderson, Ishmith, Davis, Gordon, and then Holiday and Dante Cunningham were the two guys who played most of the minutes. When you've got 2 zeros basically starting in Omer Asik and Alonzo G, pretty good of them to get the victory in that sort of situation. Odd that in a game where a team that is so bothered by injuries, Luke Babbitt did not even get off the bench, and he was healthy. The Detroit Pistons and the Minnesota Timberwolves up next. Andre Drummond looked like he might be in trouble for keeping his double-double streak alive. He ended up getting it 21-11. He had 5 fouls, and that limited his minutes to 29. 2 steals and a block for Drummond. Aaron Baines got extended run with Drummond being bothered by those fouls. He played 19 minutes, Baines. He had 11 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. There's nothing to look at there fantasy-wise. But if Drummond actually does get hurt, Baines is a guy who can put up numbers in when he gets starters minutes, so he'd be someone to watch for. Reggie Jackson, 18, 5, and 5 with 2 threes. Marcus Morris, 16 and 11 with a steal and a block, one of his better performances in recent memory. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, only 8 points. But Stanley Johnson starting to come on here. 15 points for Johnson in 24 minutes, 3 threes, not much else. But the 24 minutes is more than Ersan Ilyasova's 19. I'm not adding him in 12-team leagues yet, but you can stash him and see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I just don't think he's going to be consistent enough to be of use, maybe before 2016. On to the Wolves. Ricky Rubio, 12 points, 7 assists, a pretty standard night from him. Zach LaVine went 14, 3, and 2 with 2 threes in 26 minutes. So it looks like the Wolves are going with LaVine at the 2. Playing next to Rubio, that's limiting Kevin Martin's value. So Martin can be dropped in most leagues. LaVine probably can be held onto. The thing that's damning about this game from a Wolves perspective is Nemanja Bjelica was out with a sore knee, and Gorgui Dieng still didn't crack 20 minutes. He had 8 and 4 with 2 steals, so still really good per minute production, but Sam Mitchell just refuses to use him big minutes. So if for some reason you're still holding on to him in standard leagues, he can be dropped. Kevin Garnett, 14 minutes, 0 points, no point there. And again, why have 2 starters in Kevin Garnett and Tayshaun Prince who offer you nothing? Prince had 0 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. It has to end. Andrew Wiggins, 21 points for him in his 36 minutes, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Some pretty poor percentages for Wiggins, so 7 of 17 and 7 of 11 from the free throw line. But he's scoring. He's on, I think, a 6 or 7 game streak of 20 points. So some pretty nice numbers from Andrew Wiggins in that scoring department. The Houston Rockets and the Memphis Grizzlies still went with Jason Terry over Ty Lawson as the starting point guard. Terry played 21 minutes. Lawson played 16. What that tells you is they went without an actual point guard for a big chunk of this game. Patrick Beverley was still out with the ankle injury. Ty Lawson had 8 points in his 16 minutes, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. So the numbers look okay, but he's not a must hold to me in a 12-team league, and Terry's not a must own, nor is Patrick Beverley, because James Harden is the point guard. He went 22-6-5 with 2 steals, 2 blocks and a three, and Trevor Ariza went 19-4 with 3 steals and 2 threes, and Dwight Howard only took 5 shots, but managed 12 points, 15 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 3 assists. Now, Howard is continuing to set out back-to-backs, but what the Rockets said they're going to do is they're going to start playing him in back-to-backs, but limiting his minutes in each game. I don't know what's worse from a fantasy point of view, if he sits one game and doesn't play the other one, or plays both with limited minutes. In the end, it probably ends up being the same, unless you're in a rotisserie situation and it costs you, games played, or you've got a games limit during head-to-head. You get one full game production out of 2 games played. That's not an ideal situation. But I guess it's a step forward if you can play in both games. Instead of playing 35 minutes in one game, if you can play 24 in 2 games, you're getting more overall production. So it's a step in the right direction for Dwight Howard. Terrence Jones played 29 minutes, 10 points, 4 rebounds. Not a great night from Jones. 4 of 12 from the field and 1 of 4 from the free throw line. He'll obviously be better than that, but there'll be nights when he's not. The Grizzlies, Marc Gasol had his first career triple-double, 16, 11, and 11 with 4 steals, a big night from Gasol. Mike Conley had 26, 3, and 5 with 3 steals and 3 threes, and both those guys looking a lot better after slow starts to the season. They were big buy-low candidates. You obviously can't buy low after a triple-double and 26-point night from Gasol and Conley, but big nights from them. Zach Randolph sat this one out with a sore knee, so Jermichael Green got the start. And for some reason, in the last game, Jermichael Green played 30 minutes off the bench. In this one, he started, he played 23. He wasn't great, 5-5. He still was the right play in DFS at that salary, trending. He had 24 and then 30 minutes in the 2 previous games. And then in this one, couldn't get on the court for long enough to have much of an impact. The Grizzlies went with Matt Barnes, who played 34 minutes. Vince Carter was resurrected from the dead, and he played 18 minutes, went 6 points with 2 threes and 2 blocks. For Vince, Barnes had 12-7 with 3 steals, and that's great. Barnes can always produce if he gets minutes, but who knows when he's going to get minutes. He played 34 here. Jeff Green played 29. Courtney Lee played 32. So it's just really hard to own these guys in 12-team leagues. Barnes, Green, Tony Allen, Courtney Lee, because we don't know how it's going to work. Tony Allen played 15 minutes in this one. So the bench guys got more minutes than the 2 starters, and how often is that going to happen? It makes it hard. Unless you know exactly how it's going to work on their rotations, and you don't, then it makes it really hard to roster those guys. Mario Chalmers came back to earth. He still took 6 free throw attempts. He went 6 of 6 from the free throw line, so his ridiculous run of free throws continued. But he only played 17 minutes, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and went 2 of 9 from the field. So this is more Mario Chalmers than what we used to, than what we saw, those ridiculous explosions. If you picked him up, I didn't think he was a must-own guy, but you got some value out of him for today, so you can hold on, but I don't think it's a must-hold situation for Mario Chalmers. The Utah Jazz and the Dallas Mavericks. Gordon Hayward looked a lot better. 22-7, 4 assists, 2 threes. Rudy Gobert. This is just Rudy Gobert now. 8-12 with 2 steals and a block. That's great, but it's not fantastic. It's not the value of where you drafted him, I would say. Derek Favors, 18-7. Alec Burks off the bench was solid. Trey Burke, 7-7 in 22 minutes. Again, he played 22. Harlan Neto played 15. There's 11 minutes of the game without a point guard. So they don't need these point guards to play big minutes. So Burke in a 12-team league, I don't think he's a must-own guy, whereas obviously Burks and Hood are. Hood played 36 minutes again, so he's getting big minutes pretty much every game, 13 points and 4 assists, and he handles the ball. Burks handles the ball. Hayward handles the ball. These guys all take over that ball-handling role away from Burke and Neto, so that's why they can afford to run without point guards a lot of the time. On the Mavericks, Darren Williams, my boy. 36 minutes for Williams, 23, 6 and 8, 3 steals, 4 threes. He almost snatched the monstrous line of the night away from Brandon Knight. I hate saying this, but I was big on Darren Williams at the start of the season, and I hate saying it because I just don't want to be the person who's associated with liking Darren Williams, and I don't like him, but the value he gave you in drafts was phenomenal. He is still available on the waiver wire in leagues, 10 and 12 team leagues. He is still available. Please correct it. I don't see why he should possibly be on the waiver wire. He is putting up sensational value at the moment. He's not losing minutes to JJ Barea or Fatface Ray Felton. It's all him, and he's not Utah Darren Williams, but he's a lot closer to Utah Darren Williams than he was in Brooklyn. And he's putting up, look, yeah, there's always the risk that he gets hurt, and that's fine. But Dallas is playing a lot better with him in the lineup. They're flying at the moment. He has to be owned, as does Zaza Pachulia. 15 and 12 in 39 minutes for Zaza. Another double-double, 4 assists, 2 steals. He's been really good. There's no other way of saying that, and he has to be owned. Dwight Powell probably also has to be owned. 11 and 4, 2 steals and a block in only 22 minutes. The minutes is the thing that worries you a bit with Powell, is that, yeah, he's not getting big minutes. And 22 is okay, and he's producing in that, but there's going to be nights that in 22 minutes you can't put up 11 points, and that's going to be a bit of a hamper on him. Wes Matthews really struggled. 7 points, not a lot else. A rebound, an assist, a block. I can understand dropping Wes Matthews. I probably wouldn't just yet. But if there's a choice between Wes Matthews and Darren Williams, I'm taking Darren Williams. I prefer Darren over Wes Matthews at this point. Chandler Parsons, 22 minutes. So his minutes are up over 20 now. 9 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And he's obviously causing a lot of people headaches just with this minutes restriction. Phoenix and Denver. Talked about Brandon Knight already. Eric Bledsoe had 22 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, and 2 threes. So a big night from him. Whereas their front court was pathetic. 9 points for Markieff Morris in 21 minutes. 6 points for PJ Tucker in 25 minutes. And 2 points for Tyson Chandler in 18 minutes. The bench big men did a lot better. Mirza Teletovic had 15 points in 21 minutes with 3 threes. Alex Len had 9 and 4 in his 14 minutes with a couple of blocks. This is a bit troubling to me because, look, the Nuggets started this one out hot. They got a good lead. The Suns came back. Did Len and Teletovic really start taking minutes off Chandler and Morris? I would have said no before today, but now I go and look at it and think, okay, so what does this mean? I'm not adding Teletovic. I'm not adding Len. I'm not adding John Lua, who played 21 minutes. But I'm a bit worried about Morris and about Tyson Chandler. I'm still holding them, and I still think that they bounce back. Oh, PJ Tucker, forget about him. But Morris and Chandler, I'm still holding them. But it's a bit of a worrying sign. Maybe Chandler's just done. Maybe Morris is... I don't know what's wrong with Morris. He's still okay. Like 9-5-2 for Markieff Morris. A block. His shot's just... he's just completely off with his shooting. And if he shot 6 of 10 instead of 4 of 10, we're talking about a 13-5 game with a block, and it's not a bad night. But shooting 4 of 10 and 9 points in 21 minutes is not ideal. And he obviously, you know, he didn't play big minutes because Mirza Teletovic was getting hot. It's a little bit of a concern, I think. TJ Warren played just 11 minutes and did not score as well. And Devin Booker also didn't score in his 10 minutes. On to the Nuggets. Emmanuel Mudiay had his best game. 26 points on 10 of 16 shooting. 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 1 3. So he was all over the box score. Still had 6 turnovers and went 5 of 7 from the free throw line. But overall, a really good night in those counting stats. And this still the same thing applies with Mudiay as it has all season. Just what your percentages are going to die. You're going to hurt in Roto and your turnovers are going to be bad. But if you've got no worries about that, then he's going to put up some big numbers. Will Barton got red hot to start the game, cooled off a little. He played 26 minutes, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. While Gary Harris, the guy keeping Will Barton from big minutes, played 28 of his own. 20 points for Harris, 2 threes, and not much else. Both those guys are definitely outperforming what I thought they were capable of doing. There's a lot of love for Will Barton on the internet. I don't really understand it. A lot of people, you know, thinking that he needs to get huge minutes. Someone tweeted at me today that he should get 37 minutes a game. That feels like a little bit of overkill to give Will Barton 37. If you're giving Will Barton 37 minutes a game, I'm pretty sure that you're tanking for the number one draft pick because he's just not that good. And he continues to shoot at a pretty high rate, and it's just so far above his career numbers that eventually it has to come down. Look, he has to be owned everywhere, but I'm just not banking on this being him. Nikola Jokic got the start, thank God, over JJ Hickson. But he only played 18 minutes, 6 and 4. Now, his shot just wasn't on early, so Mike Malone took him off. And Malone, if you haven't listened to Mike Malone's press conference after the game, have a listen. He was not happy with the effort levels of some of these guys, and you know, he didn't single them out, but you'd have to think that includes guys like Jokic who didn't play big minutes. And JJ Hickson is still terrible, but he had 10 points in 14 minutes. If you added Jokic like I did, I'm still holding and seeing what happens. But it wasn't a great night from him. Kenneth Faried played 25 minutes, 4 and 7. This guy's just not a good player. I can't buy Kenneth Faried as a good player. And yeah, I just can't have it. Danilo Gallinari, 15 and 10 with a 3 and 2 blocks in his 39 minutes. Just a really poor shooting night from Gallo, though. 4 of 14 from the field. The next game is the Los Angeles Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers. Jamal Crawford, hot, hot shooting, 20 points with 5 threes, not much else. You didn't have him in your DFS lineup with the news that JJ Redick was back, but he ended up playing more than Redick. 27 minutes for Crawford, 26 for Redick as he came back from that back problem. 7 points, 2 assists, and 2 steals for Redick. With Paul Pierce out due to being old, Lance Stephenson got the start. Played 19 minutes, had 2 points, had 1 assist, 1 block, and he continues to be shithouse. There's no reason for Lance Stephenson to be rostered in any leagues, really. Austin Rivers had 10 points in 22 minutes. The bench was a bit of a mess here. Wes Johnson had 4 points in 22 minutes, and the Clippers got beaten by the Blazers, and they are really struggling. DeAndre Jordan, 12 and 15. Blake Griffin, 21, 7 and 7. And Chris Paul, 11, 2 and 8. They're all decent nights, but this team is just really, really struggling at the moment. Damian Lillard for the Blazers had 27, 4 and 7 with 4 threes. Bad percentage. Fine, we're used to that. CJ McCollum, the same. Bad percentage. 18 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist and 2 steals. And that's a pretty CJ McCollum-ish line. Yeah, you don't expect much else apart from points and threes. He's going to hurt your field goal percentage, but he's been really good this season. Mason Plumlee, looking better and better, 18 and 10 with a couple of steals. And Ed Davis played 31 minutes, 17 and 15 with a block. Now, we hadn't seen Plumlee and Davis playing alongside each other very much this season. That changed in this game. What does it mean going forward? Look, Davis is a better player than Noah Vonleh. He's clearly a better player than Chris Kaman. So with Myers Leonard out, mate, let's hope we see more of Ed Davis and Plumlee together. It did actually work playing these guys together, which is great. And I hope that this allows them to play together more. Do you add Ed Davis? It won't hurt if you're looking for some rebounds and blocks and field goal percentage. You deal with a bad free throw percentage. He's not going to provide you much else. He's worth looking at. He's definitely a better option than Noah Vonleh, who played 18 minutes, and of course Chris Kaman. And he's going to have some value. I'd rather add Ed Davis than I would add Bismack Biyombo, because even in 25 minutes, Davis can be useful. Al-Farouq Aminu had a double-double. 3 guys on this team had a double-double. Davis, Plumlee, and Aminu. 10 and 12 for Aminu with 2 threes, 2 blocks, and a steal. He continues to be really, really good this season. And Alan Crabb couldn't keep his hot streak going. He had 3 points in just 22 minutes. The Toronto Raptors and Los Angeles Lakers. Kyle Lowry, 25, 5 and 5, 7 threes and 3 steals. A big night from Lowry. Pretty good night from Damari Carroll as well. 13 and 7 with a couple of steals and a couple of threes. And 18 points from DeMar DeRozan. Talked about Louis Scola and Patrick Patterson before. 25 minutes to Scola, 26 to Patterson. 11 points to Scola, 7 to Patterson. These are not exciting numbers. And this is probably what they'll do without Jonas Valanciunas there. James Johnson will get some more minutes. But as I mentioned, none of them are going to be must-own players. Now, Terrence Ross came back. And the most important thing from Terrence Ross coming back is, what did it do to Corey Joseph? Well, Corey Joseph played 23 minutes, 11 points and 6 assists. And I think that we'll see that Joseph will play out there a little bit more with this injury to Valanciunas as well, as they move Damari Carroll to the 4. So if you picked up Joseph, let's just hold tight for these next few games and see how they run him. If he's going to get 20 minutes a game, 21 minutes a game, it's hard to own. But if he gets back to 25 and plays 11 points, 6 assists, which is what he did here, that's definitely useful. On the Lakers, Julius Randle had his best game in a while, 18 and 12 with a block. Really good percentages as well, which is something we haven't been able to say for him very much. And D'Angelo Russell, 34 minutes. Byron Scott must have been sick. 34 minutes for D'Angelo Russell, 17 points, 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Really, really good performance. Is it a sign of things to come? Well, who knows with Scott, but he's obviously got the ability to put up some stats. So in a 12-team league, if he's floating around, you can have a look at it, but he's not necessarily a must-own guy. 8-8 for Hibbert, 13-4 for Clarkson, and Kobe Bryant returned, played 37 minutes because, of course, he did. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. 37 minutes means we probably won't see Kobe playing in the next game. And their bench, this is better. Nick Young, 14 minutes. Lou Williams, 16 minutes. Brandon Bass, 15 minutes. Larry Nance, 18. And Meta World Peace, 17. That's a better way to run a rotation in terms of overall minutes. Now, some of the pairings he had weren't ideal, but give minutes to your best guys. You know, 30 minutes to Clarkson, 30 minutes to Russell, 30 minutes to Randle, 27 minutes to Hibbert. That's the way to do it, Byron. Just structure it a little bit better. But that's a little bit better, and it becomes more reliable. And, you know, Nick Young's not your future. Lou Williams isn't your future. Brandon Bass isn't your future. Give it to the guys that are your future. The last game of the night, the Chicago Bulls and the Golden State Warriors. Another great game. The Bulls gave the Warriors everything they had. Couldn't get over the line. Jimmy Butler was awesome without Derrick Rose and Aaron Brooks. 28, 9, and 7. 3 steals and 2 threes. Still having issues with his free throws, 4 of 7 from the line. Kirk Heinrich, seriously, 34 minutes for Heinrich, 17 points, 3 threes, 2 steals. I don't know where these last two games of Kirk Heinrich have come for. I do not buy it for a second. 27 minutes for Pau Gasol, 14 and 10. And probably the big thing here is Nikola Mirotic played 36 minutes. He went 18 and 10. He had 5 assists. He had a steal. He went 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He was 6 of 17 from the field. So his shooting hasn't been good, but he played huge, huge minutes. Gibson played 16 minutes. Noah played 17 minutes. Yeah, so this is why we needed to hold on to Mirotic. And there was a few people who were saying he only was able to beat up on the bad teams. Well, he's had big games against the Cavs and against the Warriors now. And Hoiberg trusted him in those games to play big minutes against the Cavs and the Warriors. So to me, that says a lot about how he actually wants to run his rotation. So there's been games where Mirotic has been limited with foul trouble, and that's cut his minutes down. There's been games where he's just been completely off, and that's limited his playing. But in the big games, Hoiberg is going to him and wants to get him out there big, and you know, he produced for you. So that you should be happy with that sort of output. Tony Snell, 28 minutes, 2 points. That's a Kirk Heinrich, a usual Kirk Heinrich sort of line. But for some reason, Kirk Heinrich has turned into Jimmy Butler now. On the Warriors, Steph Curry, you'd probably say he's a little bit quiet, but he had 27, 5, and 4 with 4 steals and 3 threes. Harrison Barnes getting hot as well, 20 and 9 with 3 threes, including a couple of late ones that were really key for the Warriors pulling away. He's having a really, really strong stretch at the moment, Harrison Barnes. He's putting up some nice numbers, 15 points, 2 threes, 6 rebounds in his last 4 games. He's shooting 56% in that stretch, and he's at 49% on the season. He needs to be owned in 12-team leagues at this point. He's taking on more of a role. Klay Thompson is having less of a role. Thompson had only 15 points with 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And Draymond Green, 9-9-5 in his 35 minutes. The center position, Andrew Bogut played 18, went 3-4 with 3 blocks. Festus Ezeli played 23, went 7-9 and 2 blocks. It just looks like whoever's on the bench is going to play the more minutes out of these guys. It's really hard to own either of them now. Yeah, 3 blocks is nice from Bogut and 4 rebounds, but 18 minutes is not. If he gets 24, then it's useful. But in 18 minutes, you can't really rely upon him in 18 minutes to produce the numbers that you need him to. All right, that does it for the games from Friday. Going to have a quick break now, and then we'll be back to talk daily fantasy for Saturday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street, and I wonder if I'll ever meet again. All right, we're back now to look at the daily fantasy games for Saturday. There are 7 games on, and the first game I'm going to talk about is the Orlando Magic and the Sacramento Kings. And for some reason, obviously I'm in Australia, so I can't enter these FanDuel tournaments. I can't get access to the prices normally on Basketball Monster. We have them up. For some reason, the Sacramento ones aren't coming. The Sacramento Orlando games aren't coming through, so I can't give you any specific prices for these guys. But what we need to pay attention to from a daily fantasy point of view from Sacramento and Orlando is that Rudy Gay escaped serious damage to his shoulder. He's considered day-to-day with a shoulder strain. So any preemptive ad that you made of Omri Caspi in a season-long league is probably not worthwhile sticking to. But there's a chance that Caspi, you know, that Gay misses this game on Saturday. And if Gay misses, Caspi becomes a really valuable guy. I think that DeMarcus Cousins is going to have a really good chance to put up some big numbers as well. Against Orlando, he's been putting up great numbers. The Magic aren't great at defending opposition centers. And Rajon Rondo has been balling lately, averaging 45.5 points over his last 5. The minutes, with Collison back, the minutes are still a bit of a risk, but I think you pretty much have to play Rondo at this point. Gay, even if Gay was playing, I don't think we'd be looked to get him in a lineup. Evan Fournier continues to be a real surprise packet this year. He's averaging almost 33 points in his last 5 games, so he's someone we can pay attention to. And Alfred Payton had a really big game in the last one. I don't think that we want to really look at him in DFS, nor Tobias Harris. The next game is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. We need to check on the status of a couple of guards from the Pacers, and that is George Hill, who's questionable with an illness, and Rodney Stuckey, who's questionable with his ankle issue. The value here is probably in the big men for the Pacers, and that's Jan Mahinmi, who's priced at 4,800, has been putting up 26 points in his last 3, which is nice at that sort of salary. So It's not great, but it's okay. Paul George at 9,500 has been putting up huge numbers. I think that you can be fairly confident in using him if you want to go for a high priced small forward. He's not going to be the best high priced small forward on the board. We'll get to that a little bit later. But he put up 57 in his last game against the Sixers. He's averaging 47 across his last three, and he's a big chance to go over 50 at pretty much any time. And the Bucks, for as good a defensive, or as well as we think they are as a defensive team, let's try that again, as good as we think that they are as a defensive team, they actually yield a lot of fantasy points to opposition small forwards. So Paul George and even CJ Miles at 4,800 are guys who have got a little bit of a chance to put up some nice numbers. Now, if George Hill's out again, Monte Ellis might see a bit of an uptick in his production, but he hasn't the last couple of games. Only 27 in the last game, and at 6,700, you want him to do more than 27. So I think we can avoid Monte Ellis regardless of George Hill's status. Giannis Antetokounmpo at 7,200 was really good in the last game, averaging 35 across his last three. So he had a couple of stinkers before that 46-point outburst. But he's a useful option at the shooting guard position at 7,200. And Greg Monroe's salary has come down to 7,700, but still doesn't mean that we need to use him. Washington and Detroit is up next. There is no spread for this game yet because we need to see the status of Bradley Beal. Now, he did practice on Friday, which he didn't do on Thursday, so he's a chance that he plays. The value guys, I think there's a few here. Marcus Morris at 6,000, I think, is a really good guy to have a look at. He's only 6,000, so it's not a huge salary. Even if he puts up 28 or 30 points, that's pretty much worth it. And the Wizards do give up points to opposition small forwards. Reggie Jackson's also a good option from the Pistons at 7,800. And a cheap guy from the Wizards I'd look at is Chris Humphries. He's at $4,000. He's averaging 23 across his last three, and at 4,000, 23 is pretty much enough. Andre Drummond's at 10,100 now, so that's quite expensive. The Wizards are a pretty good matchup for opposition centers, but at 10,000, he needs to go for 50 points. He's averaging 43. He put up 30 in his last three, 36 today, so not much there. Probably steering clear of Andre Drummond in this situation. Clearly, I'm steering clear of Brad Beal because we don't even know if he's going to play. And John Wall at 9,100. No, not in this one. The Pistons are really good against opposition point guards, so I think we steer clear of him in this matchup. Reggie Jackson at 7,800 is a much better bet in my mind. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 14 with a total of 193, and that just looks really ugly. Couple of things we pay attention to here. Luol Deng is probable. He had an illness. He missed practice. So that might open up some minutes for Justice Winslow. So he's at 3,600, Justice Winslow. He could start. The Heat could minimize minutes to guys like Dwayne Wade. So Winslow might be an option for a tournament. So have a look at him. I think that Goran Dragic at 5,600 going up against the Sixers he's been bad, but it's a low salary. You might get something out of him in this sort of matchup. And Hassan Whiteside at 8,500. Now, he's not a guy who needs 30 minutes to put up big numbers. He could just tear him apart, much like Al Jefferson did to Jahlil Okafor. Whiteside put up some big numbers. I think Jahlil Okafor is actually not a bad guy to look at 6,500. He was poor against the Hornets, but we could see him having a bit of a bounce back and putting up a 30-point fantasy night. And he's definitely worth a look. Dwayne Wade at 7,000. There's more of a risk of him having his minutes limited, I think. It also opens up for Tyler Johnson then. At 4,000, if Deng's out and if Wade doesn't play as much, Tyler Johnson might get some run. So a tournament play at 4,000, he's worth a look. He averages 21 in his last three, which is pretty solid. Nick Stauskas for the Sixers as well. Got back on track today with a 24-point outing at $4,000. He's someone that you can throw into a tournament lineup. Chris Bosh at 8,100, I don't think I'd want to spend the money on him, and I'm definitely not spending on Nerlens Noel, even though he is now under $7,000. Atlanta and Cleveland is the next game up. We do not know the status of Jeff Teague. He's considered questionable. We do know that Thabo Sefolosha is going to play. We know that Kent Bazemore is not going to play, and we think that Kyle Korver is going to play. He's probable with that ankle issue. We also know that Mo Williams is out for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that means Matthew Dellavedova will get the starting point guard role. He put up 24.7 in the last game with Mo Williams out. He's priced at 4,100. He becomes one of the more must-play point guards in action on Saturday. J.R. Smith at 5,000 has been really good as well. He's someone we can look at who should get a bigger role with no Mo Williams. And a couple of other Cavs I really like in this situation. LeBron James at 10,100 and Kevin Love at 7,900. I think that with Williams out, there's going to need to be some more offense created. So James and Love should be able to put up some relatively decent numbers there. There's some okay guys to look at. Paul Millsap's now up to 8,500. The Cavs are a pretty solid team in terms of allowing points to point power forward, so he might be in a situation to put up some pretty big numbers. He put up 55 in his last game. I do like Paul Millsap at that price. And there's going to be no Timofey Mozgov, who's out for the next 2 weeks. So Tristan Thompson at 5,300. He put up 27 in the last game. It's not a massive stretch to think that he can go for 30 points or 32 points. So in a tournament, you might want to have a look at Tristan Thompson. Obviously, if Jeff Teague sits, then Dennis Schroeder at 5,100 becomes one of the better point guard plays on the board as well. The New York Knicks and the Houston Rockets, both these teams offer back-to-back. The Rockets are favored by 4.5. They have just been terrible, and the Knicks would fancy themselves a huge chance to get a win here. The total is 205. As I mentioned before, Dwight Howard is out. Patrick Beverley is questionable. So with Howard out, Clint Capella and Terrence Jones. 4,300 for Capella, 5,700 for Jones. Both of those guys become very nice value plays. Opposition power forwards have generally been able to put up big numbers against the Rockets. So Kristaps Porzingis at 6,000 will look to bounce back after a subpar performance against the Thunder. So we can have a look at him. Robin Lopez is his minutes are too fluctuating for us to really rely on him. Carmelo Anthony at 9,600. I think that's expensive, but he could be a decent guy to look at. And James Harden at 10,300 has been really, really awesome. 47 points over his last five. You could easily get a 50 or 60 point night out of James Harden. Trevor Ariza is up to 6,000. Opposition small forwards are not getting great numbers against the Knicks, so that might be a case to discount him. But he is averaging over 30 points over his last three. So he's in a bit of a hot streak. I'm avoiding Calderon, Galloway, Grant, and Aflalo. I don't think any of those guys are really worth taking too much of a look at. The last game of the night is another couple of teams who are off a back-to-back or on a back-to-back, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. We heard Greg Popovich say that Manu Ginobili is going to play after he sat out on Friday, so he will be in action for the Spurs. We do not know about Zach Randolph, who's questionable with a knee. LaMarcus Aldridge is questionable with that ankle for the Spurs. I'd say it's really doubtful that Aldridge plays. Back-to-back, we know what the Spurs do. I really don't think that Aldridge plays in this game. I'm still going to go with Danny Green at 4,200. He put up another 20 points today, even though he only scored 6 actual points, another 20 fantasy points. He's still worth a look for me. Marc Gasol, 7,500. If Zebo's out, he put up that triple-double today. With Brandon Wright out as well, he's going to put up some nice numbers. And Jermichael Green, let's go back to the well there again at 3,700. It's not ideal against the Spurs. Now, Green did play for the Spurs last season, so maybe he has a bit of revenge in his mind. But it's strictly really a tournament-only option, I think, in this sort of situation against the Spurs. Not much else really stands out. I don't like Mike Conley here. Kawhi Leonard is obviously awesome, but at 8,600, he needs to be extra awesome. And Courtney Lee, Jeff Green, Matt Barnes, Mario Chalmers, all these guys, it's too unreliable to really play them in fantasy situations. Jeff Green, you might want to have a look at in a tournament at 4,300. Courtney Lee at 3,900, not a bad tournament play, but they're not great. They're not strong plays, I wouldn't say. All right, let's now look at the picks of the day. And if you're on our Basketball Monster now, when you go to the daily projection site, you'll see players with a yellow star next to their name, and they're the players who appear on this DFS plays. They're the guys that I pick as relatively good value plays. So at point guard, Dennis Schroeder at 4,800. That's even higher if there's no Jeff Teague. Ish Smith at 5,400. You know what? I've put the wrong one up. That's the wrong day. I am gonna quickly put up today's one. I'm reading the wrong thing completely. Sorry about that, guys. There we go. No, that's not it either. Where did it go? You know what? I'm going to have to tweet this one out later because the thing has seemingly disappeared. Let's see if I can find it. Sorry, this is riveting radio. I don't know where it's gone. Just sing along to yourselves while I try and find this. Well, that's gone. I'll tweet that out later when I find it. So I do it, but you know what? I can give you them verbally because I've got them in front of me here on the Basketball Monster website. I'm just going to bring that up. Let's try again. Sorry about this, guys. I thought that was ready to go. Clearly not. Okay, so let's talk the three point guard value plays. Now, that's if we look at the cheap option is Matthew Dellavedova. He's at 4,100. Goran Dragic at 5,600, and then Reggie Jackson at 7,800. The shooting guards, Danny Green at 4,200, J.R. Smith at 5,000, and James Harden at 10,300. The small forwards, Justice Winslow at 3,600, Marcus Morris at 6,000, and LeBron James at 10,100. The power forwards, we've got Chris Humphries at 4,000, Terrence Jones at 5,700, and Kevin Love at 7,900. And the centers, Clint Capella at 4,300, Jahlil Okafor at 6,500, and Hassan Whiteside at 8,500. Don't know what happened to that graphic, so I will tweet it out, so I do apologize for that. That's it. Today's podcast is done. Make sure you are supporting the podcast by going and downloading the No Halftime app and using that promo code DUNK to show them that you got sent from the Red Rock podcast. Make sure you're helping out by leaving a review, becoming a sponsor of the podcast. That's always an awesome thing to do, and I do appreciate that greatly. So go ahead and do that if you could. Subscribe on iTunes. Check out basketballmonster.com. Check out hardwoodparoxysm.com. You know all the places where you can find me. Find me on Twitter @redrock_bball. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.